You're listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 229 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and today you are going to hear our live podcast taping from our DIY Musician Conference in Valencia, Spain, that just happened last week as of recording this, last weekend, but by the time you hear this, it might have been a week in the past or so, but anyway, this happened there. It was an amazing time getting together with artists from all over the world, not just Europe. People from the States came, people from Latin America. It was just, the whole world was represented. It was an amazing time. It was an amazing time. And if you're sad because you didn't make it, you can still make it to a DIY Musician Conference. The one in Austin is happening August 16th through 18th. And you can still get tickets. Right now, they're $129. That price will go up if you delay and keep sitting on the fence trying to decide if you want to go. Let me just solve that problem for you. You want to go. So head on over to DIYMusicianCon.com and get your tickets, get your hotel room. It's going to be an amazing time, as every time we get to be with the artist and hang out, and you get to dedicate a weekend to just focusing on what you're going to do with your music career and how you can move it forward. It's just a time well spent. So, like I said, this episode was taped live in front of a group of artists, a live podcast taping, and the audio quality is not the best. I'm going to admit it. All right, it's not the best. When I got there, I had a recorder. They had a different, completely digital setup than that was there before that wasn't quite compatible. Then I fried my recorder with by plugging it into 220 instead of 110. And it's a long story. I don't need to bore you with it. I'm just happy we got the audio in some form. So you'll hear the audio. It's kind of roomy. But once you adjust to hearing it, I think it's worth listening to. So the session title is How to Build Your List and Make a Profit Giving Away Your Music. We had a time frame that we had to keep it in, so, and we managed to do that. And I think we actually got the topic covered and all, so it can be done. By the way, the people in the room, they heard it perfectly clear. So come to the conference, and you don't even have to worry about the audio issues. But here it is, How to Build Your List and Make a Profit Giving Away Your Music. Live from the DIY Musician Conference in Valencia, Spain.
This is where we're going to make you clap. So, like, you're excited to be here. Oh, it keeps going. For 50 minutes. All right. Well, welcome to a live taping of the DIY Musician Podcast here in Valencia, Spain.
Valencia.
Oh yeah, I said it totally wrong. The energy in here is astounding. You guys must have been out really late last night.
I thought I was being responsible. We went home at, well, like 1, and I couldn't fall asleep till 4, so I should have stayed out.
Well, it's impossible to eat dinner here without it taking 3 hours. So you go to an early dinner at 10, and the next thing you know, it's 2 a.m., and you think you're getting in early. Well, welcome. We're excited to be here. It's the DIY Musician Conference, year 2 in Valencia.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about marketing funnels, kind of in general, and then get into some specifics about a particular kind of marketing funnel Kevin and I both tried.
Really? It's 11 a.m. We're going to talk about marketing funnels.
Yeah, this is what you do in the morning here at the DIY conference.
And we, some more people came in, so I'm going to ask, are you familiar with the DIY Musician Podcast? Raise your hand. So a few. Okay, it's about 40%, yeah. Because we make some references to past episodes at times and jokes that people who know the podcast will get, and the rest of you will just stare at us like, what are these guys talking about? But yeah, we're going to be talking about marketing funnels and some ways that you can set up things that, I don't know, what would you call it? What do we, let's start. What is a marketing funnel, Chris? Because I don't know.
Okay. I would say a marketing funnel is a process. It's like a journey you take someone on from some point. Maybe they don't know you at all. Maybe they're sort of a casual fan. And you want them to get to take a specific action, whether it's follow you on Spotify or buy your CD or whatever. And you're going to take them on this journey. So you need to know where they are at each step of the process. And you need to communicate to that individual according to where they are in the process. And I think they call it a funnel because you can think of it as a funnel where there's a lot of people at the top that you're trying to reach. And many of them will be indifferent or hate you. And then they get a little deeper into the funnel. They like
really?
You more.
Really? All of them at the top hate us?
Well, let's go with they're indifferent. And the deeper they get into that funnel, you know, it's a much smaller group of people, but those are highly engaged people who are the most likely to take the action you want them to take at the end of the journey. So that's how I describe it.
So a lot of times with our marketing and how people approach their audience, they sort of look at everything as what I'd call like a one-off message. It's like, here's this email about this thing, maybe a new album or a show, and it's just a bunch of pretty much random messaging when you think about it, where the idea when you start looking at it as a funnel, it's like, I want to find people that are interested in a certain thing, and it's okay that there's a large group that don't. Then the idea of I'm going to set up some messages and messaging in succession that actually help me identify those people so I can actually really talk to people that I know are interested in something as opposed to speaking in generalities or getting frustrated because it seems like nobody cares. And oftentimes it's just because you're speaking too broadly to an audience that you haven't really narrowed down. And so the idea of as a funnel, it's like you got the people at the top that, Chris, they might love you, but you got the people at the top and you're just trying to bring the right folks down to one specific thing.
Yeah, and then if you know where the person is in that process, again, it saves you from that sort of constant string of one-off messages, whether they're tweets or emails or whatever, which saves them from getting really annoyed because you're talking about buying a CD and the person's like, I bought your CD a year ago. Shut up, don't you know me? Like, value me as your fan because you should know that I bought your CD and stop sending me this particular message. Send me some other message.
Yeah, like another example of like, just to kind of put in perspective, like trying to speak to the right people and not the wrong people. It's like, if I'm doing a tour of Spain or Europe, I don't need to be emailing all my fans in the US constantly saying, we're on tour in Europe. Like, we don't care, we can't come. We're not gonna be there. So a lot of times as artists, we're sending a lot of messaging to people that aren't gonna take action. And then it looks like, when you're looking at metrics, email's an easy one to look at metrics. It looks like, nobody's opening the emails. Nobody cares. I must not have any real fans on my list. That might not be the case, that you just might be sending a messaging that isn't relevant. And so the idea of putting together funnels is like, okay, I want this particular thing to happen. How can I weed out the wrong people and speak to the right people? And it can be done with email. Like if you're using an email program like MailChimp, there's lots of like little, I forget what they call it. They might call it drip campaigns that you can sort of use to set up an email funnel. In Facebook ads, you can do this a lot. And Chris and I are going to talk in detail about a particular funnel that we set up and both ran for our music. But it's just a new way of thinking about how that you actually want to reach the right people, not the most people.
And if the funnel is a series of events or, you know, sequence of events that you're setting up, it's both about creating that that sequence, but then measuring along the way what actions everyone takes. So it's conditional. If they did this, they go on to this next step. If they didn't, maybe I reinforce that message, or maybe I go back a step, which probably sounds very mathematical and daunting, but a lot of the tools you have, like MailChimp and some of the stuff we'll talk about, make it pretty easy for you to set it up in advance, and then it's all automated. So don't get too scared about thinking you need to build out some huge, you know, infrastructure of possibilities.
Yeah, and a few more reasons why this is important when you start thinking about marketing. Maybe you have an album launch, or the situation that Chris and I are going to go in detail a little bit about is what to do with all those CDs that you have lying around that 6 months after the album launch, and it feels like, now what? But a lot of it is that marketing costs money, you know, if you're spending money to send messaging to people that were never going to take action in the first place, then you're just wasting money. And also you can get the wrong impression from your fans, like I said, they're not interested in what we're doing. Well, it's like, no, they would be interested if you sent them the right message and you took some steps to kind of figure out who those people are. And also, I think it's a way that oftentimes we have fans and we get them to take action and we never follow up with anything else. I know that those of you that were at the session yesterday with where Jason and Christina were talking about, you know, some of the online advertising you can do. A lot of that is also similar, where it's like, someone took an action, now I know they like streaming my music on Spotify. I'm gonna send them another message, and maybe they'll buy a t-shirt. Oh, they bought a t-shirt and they're streaming. Well, now I know that they're pretty deep as a fan. Let me keep talking to that person and nurturing that relationship, as opposed to keep saying, stream my music on Spotify to everybody. So it's that idea of, like, I'm gonna take a group of people, find out and try to do things more specifically to find out what they're interested in, and then give them messaging that continues them down that path. Or it could be a buying funnel as well, which is a little bit more about what we're gonna talk about today with what Chris and I did.
Yeah, so we pretty much at the same time ran the same kind of marketing funnel, slightly different approaches to the same. It's called a free plus shipping and handling offer. Does anyone know what that is?
You've probably seen one on Facebook by somebody offering something similar, not even necessarily an artist, but if you, next time you log on Facebook, you'll probably see one.
Yeah.
Especially since all your phones are probably listening to this conversation right now, and so you're gonna start getting offers for free plus shipping.
So it's a pretty simple concept. Someone is gonna give something to you for free as long as you pay for the shipping and handling. Why the hell would they do that? Well, because it's kind of a jump for you to go from someone who's casually interested in something to actually getting out your credit card, even if what you're paying for is just the shipping. But the fact that the book, or in our case, the CD is free, helps a lot of people get over a little bit of that shock of getting out their credit card. But you know, they're not having to pay $20 or paying whatever, $5 to $14, depending on where in the world you're shipping the stuff. So it's a way, again, to kind of get either casual fans off the fence and get them into your music. Once they've given you the credit card, there's a little psychological hurdle that they've jumped over, so now they kind of probably consider themselves more of a customer and a fan. And then also, if you're targeting this at completely new audiences that maybe have just seen one of your videos or heard a song on Spotify, like, this is a great way to sort of in general capture their email and yeah, give them something cool for very little.
Yeah, so the basic premise for the funnel that Chris and I set up is that, you know, it's post album release, like I mentioned, you've burned through all the, hey, we've got new music out, and all the people that already bought in as fans have already pretty much taken action. And then, you know, there, as an artist, you always have a feeling it's like, you know, like our band's email list is like 5,000 people. And you're thinking, I know X amount of people pretty much took action, but there's this chunk in the middle that I know they like our music because they're on our email list. And, you know, there's probably a percentage of people that, who knows how they got on the email list, they just signed up randomly. I don't know. There's always people that get on your email list that you're like, I don't know if they even know who we are. But there's that chunk in the middle where you're like, these people like us. I know they probably have some of our music, but for some reason they just haven't taken action. They're on the fence. Maybe they haven't really been paying attention, or what we've done so far hasn't really captured their imagination. Like, I gotta go get this new music. And so it's like, I want to take these people that are just kind of on the fence, haven't really bought in on the new music, and create an offer that gets them to buy.
So I think part of, for me, what is exciting about this is I ended up making money, even though you're giving something away, and we'll explain how later, but I ended up profiting from giving away my CD. Even if you don't though, even if you break even or lose a little bit, it's still worth doing in many cases because you're getting email addresses, especially if you're targeting this to people on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever who might not have given you that email. That's, you know, you're getting that for very cheap. Like customer acquisition cost is a thing in business, and lots of businesses assume for a couple years when they're new, they're going to lose money in order to find customers. And this is a way you can do it while breaking even or even making some money that will not just pay for the ads you're doing, but also put some money in your pocket.
Yeah, so the thing that we did was offering, okay, got all these people, they're on the fence, got all these CDs, I'm going to offer the CD to my list, run Facebook ads to people that have shown interest in our music as a free CD, and all you have to do is pay for the shipping. And why don't you detail a little bit about how, like, the actual mechanics of how it works, like what the actual funnel looks like,
what the
experience is, and what you're trying to get people to do.
Yeah, so for me, it was important that I didn't start by offering this to my existing email list because they're already on my list. Many of them probably already have a CD. So I wanted to get this in front of people who were way more casually engaged with my music, so Facebook fans, but in general, that's people who may have seen like one of my videos and liked it. So I had a video that did pretty well on Facebook, and I decided I would make another video that used the same stylist. The music video was shot in reverse. So I shot a kind of an ad for this offer in reverse with my daughter in our backyard, and we did everything backwards. And then, you know, you flip the video around. So anyways, it was this sort of visual cue that harkened back to the music video they'd already seen. But in this new video, it's me saying, hey, I want to send you my CD for free. Just help me with the shipping costs, and I'll send it, I'll send it to you. So anyways, anyone that clicks the link goes to a page where they put in their contact info, they put in their credit card info, and then up pops a thing that says, hey, I'm gonna send you the CD, but would you also like to get this other CD for, you know, at a discount? So I think I charged $8 for the prior CD to the one I was giving away for free. And then, lo and behold, more than 50% of the people who took me up on the free offer bought the second CD. And then I think 15 to 20% of the total people that took me up on the free offer also, there's a third thing after they got through it's called the order bump. The first thing that pops up, it's like, do you want this other thing? After that, there's an upsell, which is this third thing. In my case, it was a t-shirt. So I think 15 to 20% of the people bought the t-shirt. So factoring all that in is why I made money on it, because people were generous. They were like, oh, this guy's giving me something. Yeah, I won't be a cheapskate, I'll buy something. And that's how it worked. And if they didn't take the action, I knew that people had visited this offer page, and I could hit them up with Facebook ads like, hey, you didn't close the deal. What's up? Did your kid spill some milk or whatever? Like, while you're in the middle of the transaction, come back. And then, you know, after one or two reminders, I would stop pestering those people. But I could measure who had taken the action and thank them get them into my email stream and send them some welcome messages. If they didn't take the action, I could follow up and say, hey, you know, last chance to get that free CD. Yeah, that's basically how it functioned for me.
The one that we set up for my band was slightly different. We only had one physical product, the CD. I take that back. We had a handful of our Christmas albums left, but I wasn't sure if I had enough, so I'm like, I'm gonna try and make this all digital. So I had our latest CD. It was free plus shipping, and in our case, it's like someone bought that, and what Chris called, it's the order bump. This thing pops up and says, hey, would you like another CD for $5 to give to your friend? And a large percentage of people actually said, yes, I'll get that. And then for us, the next thing they got was, hey, these guys have two Christmas albums. You can get both of them the digital download right now for an additional $10. So you get two more albums for an additional $10. And then the last thing was, hey, there's also an EP that 75% of our fans, for some reason, no matter how many times we say it's available, that we released back, you know, like 5 years ago, you can get that for an additional $5. And so similar thing, so like Chris mentioned, is that, you know, people would go, yes, I'll get that, and I'll get that too. And you know, a lot of people will just get the free item at the beginning, and, you know, you basically sold a CD for, I was charging $6.95 for shipping and handling. And, you know, by the time you go to the post office and mail it, and you maybe make a dollar or two.
But it takes so long to pack all those envelopes and sign the poster. I was also sending out posters and like a letter basically that had kind of behind the scenes info about this album that was really important to me in terms of, it was a very personal experience. So I kind of personalized a little letter and signed that. And it takes...
Yeah,
extra dollar.
That's why I didn't want to do any. That's why also I was like, hey, I'm going to try and make it as digital as possible. So I only have to ship one thing. I think if we had some more physical items, it probably would have seen some higher conversion rates, but on some of the, you know, extra order bumps. But I started out targeting, similar to what Chris did, that we had a video that was a promo video for our new album. It was a full song, but it was like footage from us in the studio. I had that on Facebook for a while and had boosted it to, you know, reaching audiences. And so I started targeting people that were like fans of our Facebook page, people that had watched that video like more than 50% of the way through. And so a lot of the initial traffic I was getting was just people that had several touch points with the band, but probably hadn't committed. Then after I kind of ran through that, that's when I did email our fan list, then trying to get the people that, you know, were on the fence, like I said, those people that like that aren't the diehard fans, but they're on our list, and I know they like our music, and just trying to get them to buy in. And it's amazing, the idea of free shipping. People go crazy for free shipping. I mean, they'll pay Amazon $100 a year to get free shipping. And so... it's one of those hooks that works really well. So if you have CDs or T-shirts, something like that can work. The service that Chris and I used, it's worth mentioning, that's designed to make this happen, is called ClickFunnels.
It's expensive. So there are ways to get a cheap kind of truncated version of the service for, I think, $20 a month. It's $100 a month, right? Otherwise, and
yeah.
So you should definitely like find like 20 other bands that need it, and I don't know if you can actually do that, but find some other people to split the cost with, and if you're gonna try that. But I think you could do this on a Squarespace site or any your own website. You could set up a landing page that. Before I say that, ClickFunnels makes it really easy to do the order bump and the upsell as these steps in the process that occur after the person's given you their credit card information. So that's the benefit there. But you could just have one page on your website that has all three offers. Just want the free CD with the shipping? That's this. You know, here's the free CD plus another CD, whatever. For my case, the T-shirt would be the third option. You could kind of lay it all out on one page. I think it would be slightly less effective because there's something about them having given you the card, and then it's an easier decision for them once the payment information is in there. But I think it could still be
fairly effective. That service ClickFunnels sets it up in a way where there's a little psychology involved where, you know, you've already entered in your payment information and it's like, oh, but wait, there's more. I mean, I don't know if you guys get those commercials in Europe, but in America, late at night, everything has, but wait, there's more at the end of it. And suddenly you're buying $100 worth of knives that you didn't need. But yeah, so it's a little bit of psychology, the way ClickFunnels sets it up, and it makes it nice and clean, and it's all programmatic. But yeah, you can set this up. I think one of the simple concepts that a lot of people, just in general, not even just artists, it's like you've got someone who's already committed to buying something, and a lot of these shopping carts that may be built into your website or services like, I'm not that familiar with Shopify, but it might allow you to do something like this. It's like they've got the cart, and then, you know, just making a secondary offer of like, hey, you got the CD, you should get the t-shirt. Or if you like that CD, I'd highly recommend you get this other album from our catalog. Just making that second call to action and telling people, hey, you're buying stuff. This is, you know, something that you might like as well. I mean, if you use Amazon.com and things like eBay and all those sites, they do it all the time. It's like, people who bought what you're buying also bought this. So if you want to be cool, buy that as well. So it's kind of, that's how, just thinking that you've got someone who's buying something, let them buy something else. Oftentimes we cut the sale short, and so a fan that would be willing to spend $30 or 30 euros on your music is only spending 10 because you didn't make it easy for them to spend more or make it obvious for them what else they should buy.
Yeah, I was just going to give a quick shout out to two of the people that we kind of based our experiments on. This guy, Kyle, from this company called Indiepreneur, sort of laid out the method for me, and his, I think, take on it is that it's a limited time thing or a limited quantity. Like, I only have 100 of these, so the first 100 can take advantage. So there's some urgency and scarcity to it. And then you use a guy named Manifest, right?
Yeah, his name's Chris, but his artist name is Manifest, and it's easier to find him that. And you might have seen some of his Facebook ads because
you're in his funnel.
Yeah, but he advertises pretty heavily on Spotify and Facebook for some of his partners. But I worked pretty closely with him. He helped me set it up a lot. So it's kind of interesting. Both Chris and I were doing this with people that two different individuals that had some different takes on it and ideas about how to set it up and the way it should work. And
I think if you Google his, he leaves them all running like forever, and he's gone through like tens of thousands of copies of all his albums.
Yes, that's how he sells most of his records now. I mean, he'll sell like launch one of these and sell thousands of records in a couple weeks. So just by taking fans through a process.
Should we go through our warnings?
Yeah. So, you know, we're probably going to have to do a follow-up podcast about maybe going in a little bit more detail. And because, you know, there was the whole Facebook ad component that we kind of breezed over that we could spend all day talking about that. But, yeah, there's when you're thinking about setting these things up, there's a lot of opportunity and potential, but there's also some warnings and things that you need to keep in mind to make sure you don't make some mistakes.
Yeah, well, the first one is I alluded to when I was describing the funnel is that you should embrace mass failure. I mean, if you think Beyonce has...
We all decided to do that when we became musicians.
right. Well, if you think Beyonce has 100 million fans, she probably has a billion haters. And that's true for anyone that's successful. They probably have way more people that don't care or don't like them than they do like them. So when you're at the top of the funnel and you send this message to 20,000 people and you only get 100 sales or whatever, like, that's good. Don't be bummed about most people not taking action.
Yeah, it's really important to remember that this is about whittling down a list to find the people that you want, that you know are gonna take action, and trying to find the people that are primed to make a sale. And oftentimes we've been programmed to think that bigger is better. And so, of course, having a bigger list or a bigger people at the top, but they need to be people that are gonna be at least relevant to what you're doing. And so it's okay that you're starting with a big group of people and whittling it down, and that means there's a lot of people that are gonna say no, but that's okay. That's how it works.
And along those lines, don't assume that just because you're giving away something for free that that offer will appeal to strangers because they don't care. This is really for getting people off the fence who engaged with you to some extent already. They've seen your videos or maybe they've been on your list for a little while. And please don't bitch about having to give away something for free. Again, customer acquisition costs. You've already paid for these CDs to be made, so don't factor in, like, you know, when you're calculating whether this sort of thing was profitable, don't factor in the $20,000 you spent on recording your record. Like, that's in the past.
Yeah, one of the strategies that works really well that is the opposite of what Chris was just saying is, like, using this is like, I've got this music, I want you to have it. I made this so you can hear it. There's no point in me making it if no one's listening to it, and I want you to listen to it. I feel that strongly about it, that you're gonna love it, And so I'm making this offer. Yeah, don't go, man, I spent all this money and you didn't buy it and now I'm having to give it away. Yes, that's not a sales pitch that's gonna work. It's like, you have this music. For you as an artist, the number one thing you want is people listening. Because if people are listening and liking your music, then the money and the fans, that all will come. But if no one's listening, that's a problem. And so these kind of things can help encourage people. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take a chance on that. I've been meaning to get that anyway, and now I'm going to be listening. And that's ultimately what you want.
Yeah. Should we go through some more of the tools?
One thing I was going to say about the warnings when doing this is success could be your worst nightmare. In that, I launched this, and then I think I went on a trip for work, and all these sales came in, and they were piling up, and no one was sending the CDs out, and so I had to go home and figure out a way. Okay, I've got to send out 200 CDs. How am I going to do that? And how am I going to do that where I don't spend $5, you know, shipping each one? And so there's some things that, you know, you need to map out ahead of time, like how much are envelopes going to cost, and how much is it going to cost me to ship, and do I want to ship worldwide, or do I just want to ship in my country? And, you know, I'm sure postal rules and laws are different in every country, but, you know, I figured out that I could get this really cheap manila envelope, and it actually worked better getting, at least for shipping in the U.S., I had the Eco Wallet CDs instead of the jewel cases, and the Eco Wallets are a little thinner, but they still look nice. It still opens up and has lots of, you know, imagery and stuff on it. And it was thin enough that I could mail it anywhere in the U.S. first class mail for like 79 cents. But if it was a little bit thicker, it would cost like $2. So it was just some of those things, figuring out that, okay, I can make this work. And then, you know, certain things happen where you're in the shipping business all of a sudden, you know. CDs get smashed, and people are like, I need a replacement. I'm like, oh, crap. I got to go mail this person the replacement.
It's a whole process. Yeah, you become a warehouse fulfillment center.
So, yeah, so you got to kind of think through some of those logistics, and if you don't, you might make your fans mad.
One thing I did first of all, I didn't go on a work trip the day after launching mine. That was your first mistake.
Yes, don't do that.
But the other thing I did, I set up a bunch of automated things to trigger in MailChimp. So obviously the first one is thank you. It's a receipt thank you email. And then they get automatically added to a welcome stream if they're not already on my list, where, you know, that's more just about me, and which goes out over a week and a half or so. But then 2 weeks after they purchase or you know, give me the credit card info for the shipping costs, they get a, hey, did you get it? Did you like it? Leave a review, that kind of email. And so I knew, like, they're going to get that in 2 weeks. I got to get this in the mail, because I don't want them to be like, no, I don't even have it yet. So why are you sending me this? What have you been doing for 2 weeks? Like, so it was like a kind of a way to just kick myself in the ass to get this stuff shipped out.
One thing I did, and this doesn't pertain to necessarily this specific offer, but I also went and had these cards printed. I found online a really cheap way to print these cards. On one side, it had our band photo, and I, you know, using an iPad, had everybody sign something and then dropped it on the photo. So it looked kind of like a little signed picture. And on the back, I just said, thank you. And then I put all our social media things. I said, I said something about following us, but it was more like joining the conversation or something like that on the back, just trying to encourage people, like having a little note in there. Instead of having to write a handwritten note, I wanted something that was in there that felt like they didn't just get an envelope with a CD in it. But that was super cheap. I got like way too many printed, and it was only like $50 or something. But super helpful in being able, if you're shipping stuff out, to just throw something in there like that that encourages them to, you know, they just feel like they got something a little extra special. So,
yeah. So in terms of the tools we used, we both used ClickFunnels, which we already mentioned, which is pricey. So, you know, think about sharing those costs with some other artists. Again, you could set this up on Squarespace or on your own website. You need a way to collect payments. So we used Stripe, but I bet you could do some sort of PayPal thing as well.
Yeah, you can do it with PayPal, but Stripe will allow you to, it's a little easier to do credit cards with Stripe, but you can do it with PayPal.
For email, MailChimp is what I use, and it's really easily integrated with ClickFunnels, and you know, pretty much everything's integrated with MailChimp, so that made it easy. And then what else? I spent money on Facebook and Instagram ads. That was pretty much my cost, I think, in this. Yeah. Did you have any expenses besides those things?
There was also the service you have to get that will generate all the order emails.
Which I canceled because I realized I didn't need it.
Oh, well, why didn't you tell me?
I thought you knew. Yeah, what was that, sir? ShipStation? I used ShipStation for a second, and then I was like, no, I get ClickFunnels was giving me the address and info for everyone. So I was like, I can just copy and paste that into Excel and print label. Like, I didn't need it.
Yeah, if you go to ClickFunnels, the kind of people that are using that service are people typically that are making thousands of sales, and so there's a lot of extra automation in there that if you're just trying to, you know, sell 200 CDs that you could probably do on your own. But that's a good service to check out, and kind of just, they've got a lot of helpful information that helps you understand just the concept of like offering something and while someone's got their card out and buying, you know, making some additional offers. And yeah, I paid for some Facebook ads that targeting some people that had taken specific actions already. I'd already been doing a lot of experimenting with Facebook ads, so I already had some audiences built up of people that I knew were sort of lukewarm fans. They weren't discovering us. It wasn't someone that had never heard of us before, but they probably hadn't gone very deep into their relationship with our band.
Yeah. We could go real quick through some keys to success for one of these types of campaigns, which we mentioned a couple of them, but for me, the reason I made money on any of this is because of the order bump, and I think 54% of my customers in this process bought the second CD. So yeah, an upsell and an order bump.
Yeah, and if you're just doing this on your own website or using a shopping cart that might be built into, because I think Squarespace has a cart that's built into it. I think it's powered by Stripe, but look and see if there's options to like make an upsell or. They probably don't use the term order bump. That's what ClickFunnels uses, but they might say an upsell or an additional product or something like that. Look and see if there's just those options, because you might have been missing out on the opportunity just to sell something extra because that feature wasn't turned on. But that is part of when you're doing something like this with free plus shipping. It's like so many people get that second piece that's really where the profit comes from, because then you're just, you know, the shipping cost is not too much more and your time is pretty much the same, but then you've got an additional, you know, in our case it was like additional $6.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and I mentioned this too, but limited time or scarcity can be a big driver of enthusiasm for your offer. So, you know, it's like, I've only got 200 of these to give away or for the next 2 months or whatever.
I forgot we did that.
You did, yeah?
Yeah, no, I copied you on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I've only got 200 of these. I'm like, that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, but like with CD Baby, when we send out emails to many musicians about, let's say we're running a deal on distribution in March or something, and it's like, you've had all month to act on this, but it's always like that last chance, and then suddenly everyone's waited till the last minute. So anyway, scarcity and a time limit gives you a way to...
Yeah,
you know,
I forgot we did that. The messaging was like, we've in the email that when I sent this to our fans, I'd copied Chris on this, that it was like, we have 200 CDs that we're gonna give away for free. All you have to do is pay shipping, like as a thank you. So if you haven't got it yet, thank you for listening to our music or enjoying our music over the years. We've got 200 CDs. And I think that helps drive it's limited. And you know, your fans, you could have 10 fans on your email list, and one could, or like three or four of them could be diehard fans. They don't know that you don't have a million people on the list. So they're sitting there going, oh my gosh, I gotta take action. They don't know if what that 200 number means, if that's a lot or a little. They just know there's limited. And so using the idea of something being limited with this offer or any sort of discount, or even if you've got extra merch or t-shirts you're just trying to get rid of, letting people know that there's only a limited number helps them, like, okay, I'll go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
I gotta decide now. I can't wait around and sit on it.
And I would say, I talked about how my offer video for this had a kind of visual reference point to a music video I assumed many of these people had already seen. So if you have some hook like that to get attention, or, you know, like, just think of all the videos you ignore in your feed all day, and what can you do to counteract that and get someone's attention, like, in the first 1 or 2 seconds with your video offer. That was, I think, important for my campaign.
Yeah, what else we got here?
Let's see.
A few more items, then if we will have a few minutes for questions if we want.
Yeah. I said lean on your list. Like, even though the idea is to get people onto your list that aren't, the people on your list are going to be probably the most enthusiastic about this offer. Just make sure, to the best of your ability, you don't send this to people who've already purchased the CD, because they'll be like, what the hell? I just bought this 6 months ago and are you giving it away? So segment your list if you can. You know, maybe you have like...
Or they might buy another one.
They might. And if it's been long enough, I think they understand, like, you're trying to make a go at this, so they won't hold it against you. But you know, with CD Baby, if they've purchased from there, or maybe you did a Pledge Music campaign, you can download CSV files of customers who you know have a particular album, and then suppress them. Make sure they don't go on the initial invite for this kind of offer.
Yeah, I think the timing of this is really important. If it's something that you launched your album last month, doing a free plus shipping to people who are on your list a month later is probably a little bit soon. When did we do it? We did this back in December, is that when it were? November?
I think mine was in the fall.
Yeah, it was in the fall sometime. Our album came out in May of last year, our latest album, and we did this at some point in the fall. So it was like, there was plenty of time, you know, where if someone bought the album, if they did see this messaging again, a lot of them were thinking like, oh, it's an opportunity for me to get it for my friend. It wasn't like, what? I just bought this at full price. You know, enough time had passed. But still, we tried to segment away from people that we knew were buying. So with the initial offer,
I also said give more than you get, which reminded me of what you said yesterday about closing the guitar case in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they think they're going to get a free CD, but then they get a letter as well, or some posters, or, you know, like, throw the extra goodies in there so when they get this, they're like, wow, this is more than I expected. How cool of that person.
Yeah, we didn't have stickers printed up when we did this, but I thought if I had stickers, I would have thrown some stickers in there. And that's why I made that card, because I thought, that's a nice little touch. They get this little thing that looks like we signed it, but we didn't have to all sign it. I should add that my band is spread out all over the United States, so it complicates all of this stuff by like tenfold, because I can't say, hey guys, meet at my house Friday night, we're gonna sign all this stuff. So I have to get creative in how I do these things in order to not drive myself mad trying to realize I can't fulfill any of this because they're on the other side of the country. But yeah, so it's just like trying to figure out ways you can throw that extra touch in there where they're like, oh, you know, it wasn't really free. I paid $6.95, but then I got all this extra stuff. So it's a good opportunity to just really connect with people.
Yeah, the last thing I was going to say too is don't be afraid to retarget people who you know have not converted on this offer. Like I said earlier, like, it doesn't mean they didn't like you or you know, felt cheated when they realized they had to pay $6 for I mean, maybe that's the case, but a lot of times people are just busy, they get distracted. So make sure you give yourself another few chances to reach out to them about the message, and then maybe take them off your, you know, not off your list, but off that group of people you're targeting with this. So don't be afraid to repeat the message a lot at first.
Well, you have on here to segment your list, which you mentioned, but also, in those email tools like MailChimp, you definitely want to make sure that you're tagging people that bought this offer. So anytime you can add information to your fan email list that somebody did take action, the better, because then, you know, when your next music comes out, you can segment those folks knowing that they bought and say, I'm offering this just to a handful of you that we know have enjoyed our music in the past. Here's this special thing. You get early access. Or it's just a really good way to know that these people have taken action and they've gone pretty deep with us, and let's give them early access or something extra that the whole list won't get, because you know that they'll get the ball rolling. Or, you know, if you've got a Spotify pre-sale, you know that, or pre-save going, or trying to do pre-sales, you can really speak to those people in a way. It's like, we know you love the music, it would help us out, and that whole it'll help us out message might resonate a little bit more than someone who's on your list that's really just a casual fan. They're not all that interested in like helping you out sometimes. It just sometimes feels a little, I don't know, just lands differently. So segmenting those people that have taken action to speak, you know, more directly to them is helpful.
Yeah. Should we do questions?
Yeah,
I know we have at least one question, right?
You sort of touched on it, but I was just saying, when you've got sort of a group of fans who are bought for an album of £15 or £20, when you're selling it at, are you ever worried about sort of upsetting them or the pay the ball back, giving stuff away? You sort of already touched on that by trying not to target them.
I definitely suppressed, you know, everyone knows email suppression. Like, you take people and you make sure your message you're sending out doesn't go to a certain group of people. I did that at first for, I don't know, the first 3 or 4 weeks or something, because I wanted to see what it could do outside of... First, I didn't write my list for a while. I wanted to see purely what this could do on Facebook to people who weren't on my list. And then eventually, I think I sent it to everyone, and I worried less about it. Also because I think the album is almost 3 years old at this point. So I knew people who had bought it. It was a while ago. They're not going to care if I'm giving it away at this point, I don't think.
Yeah, and also, you know, it happens to us all the time. I mean, you think about just in buying stuff, in whatever you're buying, whether it's clothes or computers or whatever, it's like you go to the store, you buy it, and the next week they have a sale. It's like sometimes they go, oh, man. I wish I had waited, but most of the time people don't care. It just happens. You can't plan those things. Right there.
How do you build your email list?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
That's a whole day's worth of sessions.
I would give you the shortest answer I can give you is we have this marketing tool called Show.co. That's what Christina and Jason were talking about yesterday on the main stage. If you have a CD Baby account, it doesn't even matter if you distribute anything or never plan to use this for distribution, just create a CD Baby account right there on the dashboard. There's a link to get the show.co marketing tools for free. If you go to the website directly, it'll ask you to pay. But if you go create a CD Baby account, the link's right there. That is a platform that is designed to do things like build a list. It's designed around getting fans to take one specific, specific conversion from one specific call to action. It's easy to set up. It takes like 5 minutes to set up a landing page that, you know, there's to collect email addresses or do other things. But that's a tool that I would highly recommend.
And the old-fashioned way, like, do you play shows? Do you? You said?
Do you
perform live?
No.
Ah.
No, this is for a charity.
Oh, okay.
I have a single coming out, and I need to have this much action.
That you should definitely check out the show.co pages, because we have people that use it for things like that. Where, yeah. If you dive into that, I think you'll get some good ideas back there.
So you mentioned upselling with a T-shirt or some type of merch item. I'm imagining as someone who's like ships T-shirts with CDs before, that kind of increases the cost because you can't fit a T-shirt in like a CD mailer.
Yes, it does.
So I'm just curious how you went about doing that.
That's a really good question. I had not yet discovered, do you use Printful?
I use Printful and Printify.
So I had not yet discovered Printful when I was launching this campaign, so I don't know. Since then, I went to Printful with Shopify. But
I want to say yes, there probably is a way, because when you get on that site, there's like these marketing funnel nerds that make these giant things that they want it all automated. They don't want to touch any of it. It's like, we want to send people down this thing and we want all these triggers to happen and if they buy. So I know that they connect to a lot of services, so I would be surprised if they don't have some sort of solution for that.
But to answer the shipping question, I believe that ClickFunnels, like the person's putting in their credit card information and they have two options. Are they, you know, in this country or this country? Or for me, it was, you know, are they in the US or are they outside the US? And I had two different shipping rates that had to cover whatever they were going to buy because they'd already selected the option. So they're paying, I think it was $14.95 or something to get to Europe. And that was whether it was just the CD or the t-shirt. So yes, I would. I don't know if I would lose money on those. In the US, I didn't because I just stuffed it in and it was affordable enough that...
What's this crazy package from Chris Robley? Is it?
But I might have lost it with Europe, but I didn't get like nearly as many sales in Europe, so I was okay kind of losing a little bit.
That was one... Actually, that's a good thing to add to the warnings because I had set up my funnel before Chris did, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just had a couple sales in Australia and a couple in Europe, and they paid $6.95 for shipping. And I went to the post office and like, $20. I'm like, oh my gosh. And Chris was like, you know, there's a way to add alternate shipping. I'm like, what? So I just went back and turned off the international option after fulfilling those orders. But yeah, that's something that you kind of have to figure in. It's more what you're... In this particular case, it becomes an average. It's like the average sale, you know, after you have X number of people, percentage, take the initial offer, then the percentages of people that get the upsell, then you get to an average order value. And that's really what you're basing things off of. And all those, like when you go to a site like ClickFunnels, they'll talk about like the average order value being like $20 or something, whatever. I think the guy, Chris, that I was working with, not this Chris, but Manifest, his average order value for the funnels he was setting up ended up being around like $17 to $20. So he was basing a lot of his pricing structure that the average order value is going to be this. For us, our average order value ended up being, I think, around the $10 to $12 range. And I, like I said, because the upsells for us were all digital, I felt like that probably impacted the sales upsell potential just because, you know, we're in a streaming world. A lot of people probably would have saw that and opened up Spotify and like, oh, it's already there, I'll just get it. But I don't know, they're buying the CD anyway, yeah. So.
Well, part of me wonders if also if you're using Shopify, if there's a way to do this simply by, instead of going through a whole ClickFunnels process, just giving a coupon code for a free item, and then you've already got all your shipping stuff already done in Shopify the way you'd have it for anything.
Yeah, that would be a way to do it. You could, because you each, when they make the sale, it triggers, like when I have the downloads, they would get an email with a link to download it. And I just had the downloads sitting in a Dropbox. So I didn't, it was, you know, they got a link to a Dropbox file and they were able to download it. So,
and the coupon code in Shopify would obviously create one extra step they'd have to do. So your conversions would probably be a little bit down from what they would be in ClickFunnels. But if you already have that infrastructure set up, it's one less thing to do.
Yeah. We've got to wrap up because there's a session in here at noon. Thanks so much for hanging with us. You guys were, I think the energy grew as we talked about marketing funnels as opposed to people falling asleep. So we appreciate it. And if you don't listen to the DIY Musician podcast, you should. We have almost 230 episodes. Chris and I have been podcasting since 2007, before many of you were born.
We still don't know anything. We're no wiser for it. So.
Yeah, so check out that podcast. And this will be on there. So you will hear your breathing in the background of the podcast. But thanks so much. We'll be around the rest of the day and tonight hanging out at the after party. So thanks.
Thanks for being here.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks to all the artists that did attend the DIY Musician Conference in Valencia. I met a lot of new faces, saw a lot of old friends who've been at multiple conferences that both in the States and our previous European conference. We will be doing the European conference again next year. We're going to try and get those dates out earlier than we did this past year. So hopefully in the next couple months, we'll be able to announce the dates for next year's conference in Valencia, Spain. You'll want to be there. It's a nice spot on planet Earth. And those of you that can't make it there, Austin is just around the corner. DIYMusicianCon.com. Go get your tickets. It's going to be a great event, and I promise you can pack light because in August you will not need a jacket in Austin. And we're going to have a good time down there. And so all the details are on the website. And thanks again for listening. We'll catch you next time. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.